The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome back for post-game back-to-back. The Memphis Grizzlies fall short to the LA Lakers, 121-118. I'm your host, David Williams. This is Hoop Bowl Grizz. I've got Mr. Isaac Simpson with me. Isaac, what'd you think about tonight's game, man?
Yeah, man, another great basketball game. I mean, we're three games into the season. I mean, you go back to last night, a great basketball game where the Grizzlies show resiliency, were able to fight back in that one, and kind of same thing tonight, except this time they come up a little bit short, man. Lakers, a lot of body blows in the game. Grizzlies just kept coming back, and a chance to kind of tie that thing in the end, man. Tough. You go to the free throw line, got to make three, man. That's a lot of pressure, man. Ja Morant calmly knocked down the first two, missed the third one, but I don't think this team has anything to hang their head on, man. You kind of knew with the Lakers situation going 0-2 at home coming into this game, you were going to get their best shot. And, again, just come up a little bit short tonight. But I think a lot of positives to go out of this game. And Coach Jenkins talked about it in the post game that even though they lost this game, he felt like they got better tonight. I think you feel pretty good about this team going forward despite the loss.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mentioned something in our preseason shows. I talked about the things that I would like to see John improve on. And free throws was one of them. You know, 9 from 11 from the free throw line is not a bad night from the line at all. Just an untimely miss on that last one there. But I think it to put yourself in that situation after the way, like the Grizzlies kind of started slow in this game, really, yeah. You know, the Lakers came out. There were a lot of early lapses on defense. And then, unfortunately, those lapses showed up some in the fourth quarter. But Taylor Jenkins spoke to that in the post-game presser. He said, you know, we just kind of come out and you know, we were not down that much at half, but we dug ourselves in a hole by the way that we were playing. So, you know, hopefully moving forward, they can get off to a better start. And again, you know, 2-1 and losing this game, a 3-point game to, you know, a team that's a championship favorite, you know, not a bad night, man. Just a few things. I think Desmond said it, you know, he said a few things a few balls didn't bounce our way, so we ended up losing the game. It could have very well, you know, bounced the other way, and they won this game. You know, Kyle Anderson has been really struggling early in the season. It's kind of tough to watch. You know, he was 1-for-8 from the field tonight. He's only shooting 25% from the field coming into tonight, so this 1-for-8 doesn't help him any. But, you know, just a few things from these guys go in the opposite direction. And you know, we're talking a big difference, a different turnout in this game.
Yeah, I mean, they could easily be 3-0 right now. And Desmond was asked after the game about John and missed free throw and kind of how they felt about the situation. And he's like, man, they're not worried about John at all. I mean, they said that that's their guy. He's going to be an all-star. He's an all-NBA level player, and they want to go to war with him. And John was asked about how he felt about that. And he says, great that his teammates, you know, his teammates has his back and he has their back as well. And I thought that was really great to see. But early on in the game, you go back to the first quarter, I think one thing that really bothered the Grizzlies is the Lakers did a really good job of trying to force the ball out of Ja's hand. Every time Ja went to make his move and try to get to his spots, they'd hedge over an extra defender and it kind of made him get the ball up. And then when they gave it to other guys, you got into a lot of ISO basketball, and that's not the Grizzlies' style. They're a team-oriented basketball team, and ISO is kind of not their game. And Lakers kind of forced them in the ISO, and then when you get an ISO going against their size and trying to go to the basket against that length, it's really tough. And I think that's kind of what we saw, especially early in the game. The Grizzlies kind of made some adjustments. They were down 6 at the half. They were able to get Ja going, and once Ja gets going, it kind of gets the whole team going. And that's kind of what we saw in the second half. I mean, Ja just took over. I mean, just looked like all-star, all-NBA level player, like Desmond said in the second half, and just kind of carried the team, and when he's playing well, just seemed to like the whole team does, and that's what we saw. But again, I think early on the Lakers had a really good game plan, and it worked for a while, but I think the Grizzlies were able to kind of make some adjustments there at half and get back into the basketball game. But again, man, 2-1 is really good. I mean, when I looked at this four-game trip, even after the win last night, I was like, man, this is kind of feeling this is going to be a tough one, and I think even from my expectations, second night of a back-to-back, man, you think they could have some tired legs, you know you're going to get the Lakers' best shot. I feel like they played really well. And I got a sneaky feeling that if this game had gone to overtime, I would have liked the Grizzlies' chances because it felt like they had some momentum there, because every time the Lakers made a run, I mean, So, man, CGK, man, Carmelo Anthony, certified careers killer. It seems like always, man, going back to Portland. I mean, he's always had big games against the Grizzlies. He got loose, and, man, they just took some big shots. I mean, the Grizzlies took some body blows. They were able to bounce back, and if he had knocked down all those three free throws and going overtime, I feel good. I feel like the Grizzlies kind of had some momentum there, and I feel like they probably would have pulled it out. But, again, a lot of good things to take into the last two games of this trip against Portland and Golden State. Get a couple days off, not back on the court till Wednesday night. So I think that's a good thing. I think they're going to be ready to go on Wednesday to take on the Trailblazers, which is kind of their rival, man. They've had some battles over the years, and I think no love lost between these two teams. And I think anytime these two teams get together, you're going to see a pretty good basketball game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there were three instances in the fourth quarter where the Lakers got wide open looks from three. LeBron James had one at the top of the key. Malik Monk had one at the top of the key. And then Melo had one over around the elbow. And those were just blown assignments to me, man. You know, like there was not anybody close to them. There was nobody close enough to contest the one that Melo made. He even had time to look down to make sure he was behind the line before he pulled up.
Yeah.
And still there was nobody there to contest it. And so, you know, you have to, you know, defensive lapses will happen from time to time. But in a game like this, you can't afford that. And that's really, to me, the missed free throw, you know, it's at the end of the game. It's at a crucial point. If he makes that, maybe we go into overtime here. But, you know, to me, that's 9 points that they were wide open, nobody contesting them, and that's a big swing. If they contest two out of those three and you miss one, we're looking at overtime or the Grizzlies winning this game, and that's, you know, whoever it was, I couldn't tell you who was supposed to be guarding who in those situations. But, you know, just a missed assignment there, and that's you mentioned the back-to-back, and somebody had asked, I think it was Evan Barnes asked John Moran about that. And he's like, man, a couple of years ago, we were playing
three games a day.
He wasn't having any of it. He's like, we can't use that back-to-back as an excuse. And that's, man, not that I needed another reason to like John Moran, but he is a zero excuses guy.
Yeah. And sign of a leader, man.
Huge, man. So, I tweeted out during the game. I think that sometimes you gotta take a step back and truly enjoy what we're getting to watch right now. This guy is generational talent, man. I'm at the point after watching him. You know, here we are, year three, and the things that he's done already, and the things that he's capable of. We don't know where his ceiling is, but I really think that he is generational talent, and you know he. So these first three games, man, like All-Star and Desmond Bane said All-NBA, and I don't think that those things are out of the question at all.
No, right now. I mean, he's an MVP candidate through three games. I know we're three games in, but, I mean, he's just been phenomenal. I mean, to score 40 points on that stage. And the thing about it is, if you look last night, when he got 37 last night, I mean, and he didn't even play his best game. I mean, he struggled a little bit in the first half tonight, man, to come out with 40 points, we'd have 10 assists. I mean, that's just, like I said, we've never had this. I mean, people have brought up the Mike Conley versus John Morant debate over the last week or so since the season started. And there's some people still saying that Mike Conley is a better player, that you can't say that yet. And that's no disrespect to Mike Conley. Mike Conley is legendary here in the city, part of the Core Four. We'll never replace that era. But Mike Conley has never been able to do some of the things that we're seeing from John Morant. I think, and I was talking to Anthony Sane about this a couple days ago, if you put this John Morant that we've got the first three games on those teams with Pete Zebo, Pete Tony Allen, I think they have a banner up in FedEx Forum right now. And that's no disrespect to Mike Conley at all. Mike Conley is a fantastic player, has accomplished a lot in this league. John is only in his third year, hasn't had the accomplishments of Mike Conley. But John Morant is something different, that we've never had anything like this on this Memphis Grizzlies team. And again, we don't know where his ceiling is. We're only 2 years and three games in, but it's tremendous to watch, and we're lucky. I don't want anybody to take this for granted, because this is special, what we're seeing with John Morant. And the thing about it is, I think he even has another level that he can get to, and that's just scary stuff to think about, man, to think that he could be even better than this. Like, I really do think that there's a scenario where we could look up one day and John Morant's the best player in the NBA. And I know that's crazy. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't know how you could say that that's not possible right now.
Yeah, especially the way that he started off this season. You know, I had the exact conversation that you just brought up with one of my buddies. And I think where a lot of the disconnect is, like, in the midst of the conversation, you know, he's more on the Mike Conley side. And I'm like, I'm not sitting here saying that Ja Morant has done more for the Grizzlies than what Mike Conley has done.
Resume-wise, no.
It's not close right now. I can admit that that is not close right now. But overall level of player, Ja Morant is better right now than Mike Conley has been in his entire career. And
100%.
My buddy didn't want it. He wasn't having any parts of it. And I'm like, I understand your love for Mike Conley. I like Mike. I love Mike. You know, he's not in Memphis anymore. But just like you said, you can't replace what he done for this city, what he done for this team in that era of Grizzlies basketball. But you have to admit, John Morant will be an all-star. If it does not happen this year, which is highly likely the way that he's playing right now, that it's going to happen this year, it will happen very, very soon. And Mike Conley didn't get his all-star bid until after he left Memphis. And you can say, oh, that's because it was a loaded West. The West is still loaded with talent. There's still a lot of loaded talent in the West. And there's no doubt in my mind that right now, if you were having an all-star vote, that Ja Morant would be one of the leading vote getters.
Yeah, I mean, what he's doing right now transcends all the stuff you usually see, right? Small market. Maybe you're not one of the top tier teams. Yeah, the numbers he's putting up right now transcends all of that. He could be on a team that was have 10 wins at the All-Star break. And if he's putting up the kind of numbers he's putting up now, I think he'd be an All-Star. I mean, he's like all NBA MVP numbers right now. Now, where's he going to keep up at the level that he's at right now? Probably not. I don't think he's going to score 35, 40 points every night. But I kind of said that he could easily average 25, but he probably won't. Man, I don't know, man. Watching what we're seeing now, I know DB is going to come back and he's going to get some shots. But, man, the volume that he's getting right now, and again, he's had two games tonight and last night where there were times even early in the game he didn't even play well tonight and came out with 40 points. So, I mean, he might average 22 to 25 points a game for the season. I mean, and I didn't think that was a possibility. I thought he'd probably be around 20. But with what we've seen these first three games, man, I actually think that might be a possibility.
You know, I think efficiency is the biggest thing, man. You look like he was, 13 for 21?
13-21, yeah. 5-7-3.
He's just been efficient this year, and that's something we didn't have that last year. You know, like his field goal percentage last year, he was at 44%. Right now he's at 56%. Is he going to maintain a 56% field goal percentage throughout the season? I don't think that is likely, to be honest with you, you know, because maybe he can, but that's just, you don't generally see that type of a jump. You know, you may see a little bit of an increase from, you know, 45% from the field up to, you know, 48, 49%, but, you know, like a full 10 or 12 point jump, I don't think that's likely. But if he does maintain this level of efficiency throughout the season, man, it's going to be great for the Grizzlies. And I don't think we're going to be discussing the play-in at all. I don't think they're going to be close to the play-in.
No, man, if he keeps this up and you get DB back and he's even at the level that he was at last year, let alone he improved this game, I think this team is a top six team in the West. I think there's no doubt. And I think this team really has an opportunity to compete for the Southwest Division. I think it's going to be them and Dallas. I'm not really worried about the other teams in the division. As long as the Grizzlies are healthy, I think they're going to be right there with the Mavericks. And it's going to be fantastic. And you talk about, go back to John Morant, I just love the confidence that he's shooting from three. I mean, the Grizzlies, the Lakers right there before the half were threatening to pull away. And John knocked down a few threes there and really kept them in the game. And it was only a six-point deficit at halftime. And that was huge, man. If he starts knocking down the three, they still aren't respecting it. I mean, the Lakers are just leaving him wide open. And I tweeted at the half, I was like, man, he's just taking what the defense gives him. If they're not going to jump out there and guard him, man, by all means, let it fly. And he did, man. He was knocking him down tonight, 5-7. And if they're not going to guard him out there, man. Keep shooting him. And if him, he's knocking down threes, I mean, he's essentially unguardable. I mean, that's, we talked about that last year. It's like, if he comes back next season, he's more efficient from three, not even what we've seen him doing right now. If he can get that number for the season to like 35%, 36%, something like that. I mean, he's very personally unguardable, man. What are you going to do? I mean, because he can, if you step out three, he's just going to blow by you and go to the basket. It's just scary, man, how good he can be. But I do want to ask you about Jaren Jackson Jr. And some more people back on him tonight, man. Had a good game last night. Not a great game offensively tonight. But what do you kind of think about Jaren Jackson Jr.? He's kind of been up and down a little bit. I mean, he's been solid across the board all the way, but a lot of people are upset about his offense. If he's not scoring 20 points a game, they see that contract he just got. People getting their feelings about him, man. What are kind of your thoughts on that?
They're just going to have to get the hell over it. Like, just to be completely blunt, man, he is not going to go out there night in and night out and have a great game every night. We're getting that from Ja early on in the season, but Ja will have an off game. At some point, it's going to happen. You know, Jaren doesn't have the same skill set that Ja has. And, you know, like, look at the matchup. Look at who is guarding him the majority of the night. An all-defensive player in Anthony Davis. You know, like, he finished third in defensive player of the year, and I think it was either 17 or 18. You know, he's a guy that's in the defensive player of the year conversation when he's really – you look at this Lakers defense last year when he was on the floor compared to when he was off the floor, and it was a massive, massive difference because of his ability to alter shots. And so, you know, you can get mad and upset because he had a bad game. He didn't shoot the ball well, but he didn't really have an awful game. 12 points, 5 rebounds. He had a couple block shots and a steal. You know, he was still, even though he didn't score the ball very well, he was still a plus 9.
Yeah, so, 4-4 for the free throw line, which, you know, stepped up and knocked two big ones down there late in the game that they had to have. And yeah. I talked about that last night on the show. Of like, that's one thing that I love about Jaren is, as a big, he's a guy that when he gets fouled late in the game, you feel pretty good with him going to the free throw line. I think that's another big positive of him. And again, like I said, I'm saying he have a bad game. I'm saying, like, other fans, or anytime they don't see him 20 – so they want 20 and 10 every night. If they don't see that, they're like, oh, man, he needs to get in the paint more. He's just out there shooting threes. And
when the threes were not falling, he started attacking down low. He got to the free throw line.
He shot four
free throws, which is not a ton. But he shot those four free throws because the outside shot wasn't falling. So he started attacking the basket. And that's, you know, you make adjustments during the game. He done that. He's just, I don't know what their expectations are for him.
I think a lot of it has to do with the injuries. I think a lot of people are upset that he's missed a lot of time. So they're ultra critical. They have everything he does, they micromanage it because they're upset about the injuries. I think that's the main thing. And now that he got this contract, and he said this all summer that people are going to be upset he got this contract, they're going to micromanage every game. And that's what we're seeing already, 3 games. And he hasn't played bad at all in a really good game last night. So I just think it's crazy, man. Even in what you call a quote bad game, 12 points, 5 rebounds and a steal, a couple blocks, knocked down 2 threes, 4-4 from the free throw line, like you said, plus 9. I mean, that's still a really, really solid game.
Yeah. Let's talk about the things like the big knocks on Jaren heading into the season were his rebounding and his ability and to stay on the floor because of foul trouble. He's his foul rate right now. He is almost a full, like 3.8, 4.1, 3.8. That's what he's been throughout his career. He's below that by almost a full foul. And you look at his rebounding so far this year, he's a full rebound ahead of where he's been at his entire career. He's making adjustments. His game is getting better, but he's not going to walk out here and be a 20 and 10 guy every night. If that's your expectation for Jaren Jackson Jr., you're going to be disappointed and pissed off a lot throughout this year because that's not him. He's going to have games when he blows up and, you know, he'll have a game where he makes 7 or 8 threes and, you know, and he scores 30, 35, maybe 40 points. Like, he'll have games like that. That will happen. But as far as a consistent 20 and 10, I don't think that you're going to see that every night, maybe later in his career, but I don't think we're here right now. And that's, you know, with Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton playing the way that they're playing, you don't have to have Jaren dropping 20 and 10. Desmond Bain tonight, you know, he didn't shoot the ball well from three. He was 7 for 15 from the field, only 2 for 7 from three, but 17 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. D'Anthony Melton, 3 for 5 from three, 5 for 12 from the field. He had 13 points. You know, Steven Adams was a monster tonight. He had 8 offensive rebounds, 16 total, and put up 14 points. So do you need – would it have been nice to have Jaren with a 20 and 10 night? Sure, but you don't have to have that from him. You need him on the floor because of what he brings defensively for this team, and he done those things. He like 2 block shots and a steal. Those are not big numbers, but those are things – that impact the game, and rim protection is something that he is going to bring, and you got to have him out there. He's not out there fouling a ton, and so he's staying on the floor. You know, we're not happy because he's fouling too much. Well, now he's not fouling as much. He's staying on the floor, and now we're mad
because he's not 4-20 and 10.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what you guys want from him, man. I'm fine with this game tonight. You know, 3 for 12, I would love to see that a little bit better, but it's part of the game. You know, you're going to have nights where you go 3 for 12. It's just going to happen. And the guy guarding you is going to be, you know, Anthony Davis had 4 block shots. How many of those 4 block shots were on Jaren? I know one of them wasn't for sure because Melton tried to dunk on him, and that was kind of laughable. But, you know, like, that's take into consideration who's guarding him before you start trying to tear this guy down because he only had 12 and 5.
Yeah, I mean, you like you said, you're going up against an all-NBA defender and Anthony Davis. I mean, I think he still had a fantastic game. I just think I think it goes back to the injuries, and people just kind of have these negative thoughts about Jaren, and they're going to micromanage every game that he plays, and especially now that he got the contract, he has kind of a target on his back. So I think this is something that we're going to be dealing with all year. But one thing that's really impressive, man, monster night on the board for the Grizzlies. I mean, you talk about the size of the Lakers. Grizzlies won a rebound battle, 49 to 36, plus 13 and plus 9 in offensive rebounds, 18 offensive rebounds for the Grizzlies to 9 to the Lakers. And that's impressive going up against a front line of this size. And shout out to my guy, Mike Beisenberg. He said he's going to be at the game on Wednesday night in Oregon. We had him on the show back in the summer. Great draft analyst, man. I love talking with him. I've been talking with him about his Trailblazers. He's not happy with what's going on with Chauncey Billups so far in their defense, but he said he's going to be out there the game. So shout out to Mike. He just hit me up on Twitter. But when you go back to Melton and Bain, and we talked about them with DB being out, and hopefully when DB does come back, whichever one of these guys goes to the bench, kind of keep up the production that they have. But another good night from him. I mean, Bain, not a great night shooting from three, but between the two guys, I mean, it's 30 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 steals, and 5 threes. I mean, you'll take that any night between those two guys. I mean, still – really, really good game for both guys, even though Bane wasn't exactly hot from three tonight. I mean, just great production from both of those guys. And again, man, anytime you get that plus what you're getting from Ja, man, this team is going to be hard to beat. And again, you bring DB back. And if you're still getting that same production for both guys, I think that makes this team, the ceiling that we talked about, I think it makes it even higher. Because I think Bane being at the level that he is like kind of something, the icing on the cake, I want to say, to what we already knew going into the season. We expected Jaren to be better. We expected Ja to take another leap. And with those two guys, with consistency from Bain and Melton, and you got DB coming back, hopefully adding to his game, again, man, I don't think we're talking about a play-in at all. Again, I think this team's going to be right there in the mix for the Southwest Division for Dallas. And that's fantastic. I mean, it's growth. That's what you want to see from year to year. They didn't make it into the playoffs the first year they were in the play-in. Last year, to make it in the play-in, this year would be great to see that next step, which would be to be a top 6 seed in the West.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this a little bit last night, and, you know, what's going to happen when Dylan does come back. And I think that, you know, obviously it makes the Grizzlies better because you have that bench unit has struggled scoring the ball.
Yeah.
Some of that is because Kyle Anderson's shooting struggles. And Joe Mullinax mentioned something on Twitter this evening about it. And he's like, something just looks weird about Kyle's shot. And it's that hitch that he had, man. The hitch at the top of that shot. He had that it was gone last year. It was
There's definitely more prominent this season.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, it's hard to say for sure exactly what it is, but you didn't notice that hitch as much last year. And I don't know if it's a hesitation from him, if he lost some confidence over the offseason or what it is, but you know, the bench unit has just been struggling to get the ball in the basket. So when you move one of these guys, whether it's Desmond Bane or DeAnthony Melton out of the starting lineup to that bench unit, that gives you a guy coming off of the bench that's capable of filling it up. And that just makes this team better. We saw Tillman for the first time tonight, and a lot of that had to do with the size of the Lakers. But, you know, that's – to me, you know, you have guys that are not your typical – like Jaren Jackson is not your typical five or four. Kyle Anderson can play the three or four. You know, you've got Brandon Clark and Steven Adams that are more like traditional big men. And, you know, Brandon's trying to stretch the floor. The threes just aren't really falling for him. But, you know, I to me, there's no reason that you couldn't play Tillman and Clark in the same rotation. And I know, you know, we had some interaction on Twitter last night after the show, and they're like, you know, it's either going to be Clark or Tillman.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I don't think that has to be the case, though.
Yeah. You know, just because the capability, like, you can't run a lineup that has Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, and Xavier Tillman. Like, that can't happen. But you can run a lineup out there that has Tillman and Jaren or Brandon and Jaren.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can stagger these minutes where these guys are out there. And you know, Tillman and Clark can be on the floor at the same time as the four and the five. It's all about the rest of the personnel that you put around them. So, yeah, I get the, you know, Jitty is the wing guy whenever a wing goes down. I understand that. But, like, to me, he's still not the 10th best player on this roster. And I think that the rotations are better when Tillman is in them.
Yeah, man, I don't know why there's this misnomer that people have that if a guy is out, they have to be replaced by one single guy. And that's not the case. You can distribute those minutes any way you want to. You could play, like you said, BC and X at different times in different mixed lineups on the floor. I mean, it doesn't have to be one guy. Like, if you lose a wing, it has to be one wing, and that's only guy you can play to make up those minutes. That's just not the case. But you can kind of stagger those minutes between multiple guys. But one thing I do want to go back to Kyle, and I mentioned this right back before the season started. Weirdly, due to media day, and I hadn't heard him say this at all last year, Kyle just kind of threw in there at the end of his availability that he still basically hinted that he still has issues with his shoulder and that it's just going to be something that he's going to have to deal with. And I thought that was strange because I hadn't heard him say that. I thought he was completely healthy last season. And you go back to that hitch in his shot, maybe that shoulder is bothering him again. I just kind of thought that was weird that he threw that in there, because it kind of struck me, because I hadn't heard him say that at all or even mention the shoulder last year. It was just kind of weird that he threw that in there. So maybe that's what we're seeing. Maybe there's something going on with that shoulder again.
Yeah. You know, that didn't even cross my mind, but you may be right about that, man. That may be exactly what's causing it for him. Yeah, I think the injury thing could definitely be it, man. I think I'm going to probably wrap it up here pretty quickly. It sounds like, hurricanes moving through. So don't want to get the show interrupted here. Do you got anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, man?
Man, just really quickly, man, Grizzlies with 2 days off, I think they need it coming out of a tough back-to-back. Almost pulled both of them off, man, but get 2 days off. Wednesday, Thursday, another back-to-back at Portland, at Golden State. If they could find a way to win one of those games and come out of here 2-2, to be 3-2 through the first five games without DB, I think that would be fantastic. And that was kind of my goal going in. I think the Clippers game and Portland game were kind of the two that I looked at that I felt like they had the best chance of winning. I knew the Lakers game would be tough, and I feel like Golden State would be tough as well. They had this one circled coming off that loss in the play-in last year. They're going to be looking for some revenge. Steph Curry's playing out of his mind right now, but that's going to be a fun matchup as well, man, to see Ja and Steph Curry, two of the guys that have really played well here to open the season. Go at it. So it's gonna be fun, man. I'm ready for the next one, man. I know they need the 2 days off, man. But selfishly, I wish we had some more Grizzlies basketball before that.
Yeah. Yep. I'm the same, man. It's good. And, you know, last year at the end of the season, we didn't have more than one day off in between all of the games. And so it's kind of crazy to, you know, here we are in the season. We're going to have 2 days in a row with no Grizzlies basketball. I standing here, I don't know what to do with my hands, man. I don't know what to do with them. So guys, we appreciate you too today. We're going to go ahead and get out of here again. I'm fighting hurricane type weather. I don't know what it is. It's making a lot of noise out there. But you can get me on Twitter. I am at DWill2111. The show is at Hoopball Grizz. We will be back following the Portland game for a post-game show. I don't think we'll have time to get anything in between now and then, but we may. We'll see. But we'll be back for sure for that one and then post-game for the Golden State game. Isaac, let them know where they can find you and get us out of here, man.
Yeah, man, late nights, man, on these West Coast trips. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals, man. Go over there, give me a follow. Always talking Grizz, sports, and other things in general, man. It's very active on there. So go in there, give me a follow if you please. But again, man, we'll be back on Wednesday night. Another late night at Portland. Hopefully we'll be talking about a 3-1 Grizzly team. And until then, we go.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.